I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Help is a simple word, but providing help to the 125 million people around the globe who need it is not a simple act. That number includes some 60 million refugees or internally displaced people. Bottom line, according to the United Nations, the world currently faces the worst humanitarian crisis since World War II. So where do you start to fix the problem? That's what representatives from 175 countries are trying to figure out at the world's first humanitarian summit in Istanbul. My BBC colleague Lise Doucet is there.
In terms of the humanitarian summit itself, those who are backing it, including the main man organizing it, Stephen O'Brien, who's the UN's humanitarian chief, he points out that this is the first time in 70 years in the whole history of the United Nations that they have gathered for this kind of a summit to take a long, hard look at a humanitarian system which, quite frankly, is broke financially and is breaking down. It simply cannot cope with the massive crises that are far more protracted and far more expensive than any agency is able to cope with on its own. So today they called for a grand bargain, a different way for all of the actors working in these humanitarian crises to work together.
Why is the U.S. not there? And how are these important kind of wealthy countries who are not present in Istanbul, what's that doing to a sense of solidarity that the wealthy countries could actually help out here?
Well, none of the five permanent members of the Security Council, Russia, China, the U.S., France, and Britain, they don't have any high-level representation here. The backers of this summit will say, well, this is an aid conference. They've sent their aid chiefs. But some people have said, well, you know, this is as important an issue as the climate change summit, and that was a proper summit, which had world leaders there, and to say for everyone to hear that they were committed to tackling, in that case, climate change. So the big question is, why didn't world leaders clear their diary for this? Well, maybe they felt it wasn't the right time to do it. Some people here are already saying, well, the real decisions will be taken in September when President Obama convenes a migration summit at the United Nations.
I mean, there are charities as well who've responded kind of negatively to this summit. Doctors Without Borders pulled out, saying that the summit is a fig leaf to hide international failures. Oxfam has called it just an expensive talking shop. Do they have a point?
Well, Médecins Sans Frontières did give pause for thought to some other aid agencies who decided not to come. There are absences of some groups because, A, they thought Médecins Sans Frontières had a good point. They didn't want to come, to use the Oxfam word, a talking shop. Some were concerned about security. There have been attacks by the so-called Islamic State. And they also felt that Istanbul, Turkey, right now, is not the right venue to be bringing in all the great and the good. But I've asked other aid agencies here, including the International Committee of the Red Cross, and they say, no, it is important to be here. It is important to show up. It is important to try to make this system work. If we don't meet among all these various actors, and someone put it this way to me, that anyone who's anyone in the aid community, except for the exceptions we mentioned, they are all here because they absolutely recognize that they are being overwhelmed by humanitarian crises in the Middle East, in Africa, and in Asia, and that simply the needs of the international community are far outstripping the resources that the international community has to deal with them.
In essence, are all these countries in Istanbul there essentially to say that the scale of humanitarian crises around the world have just gotten too much for them to deal with?
Well, there is that, but there are some interesting suggestions. For example, I spoke to the head of the Western Union, and many of your listeners will know it's the big, one of the Fortune 500 companies which moves money around the world. Mm-hmm. The head of it is very much involved in fundraising for Syria, very much involved in getting other members of the private sector to try to make this work so that you don't just look to the traditional aid agencies to try to solve these crises. You look to the credit card companies to find new ways of getting resources to refugees. You look at the private sector to raise money for them, to give jobs to Syrian refugees. You have the founder of Chobani Yogurt, and he's hiring Syrian refugees in his factories. I think they have a point in that it is time to think outside the box. And at the end of the day, what is really important is that the people who are getting this aid, they're not just victims. They don't want to be dependent. You have to find ways to give them livelihoods, to get their children in schools, to give families jobs, to give them a sense for the future, because these are crises that they're not going to end tomorrow or next week or next year, or maybe not even in the next decade or more. So you have to find a way to give people decent lives and livelihoods. And we don't now have the approaches to make that happen.
My BBC colleague Lise Doucette at the first conference on humanitarian aid in Istanbul.